night. Amen. Thank you. And it's always good to be in the house of the Lord with you guys on Wednesday. I say it every week, the worship together and breaking bread, the word together. Isn't that awesome? And that we won't leave the same as when we showed up, right? God's word being revealed to us, light, watering our souls, amen? And I meant to bring a piece of paper up so I could write some names down. I've started doing this where we have specific prayer for people on Wednesdays. So, Mr. Reed, remind me your beautiful daughter's name. Brenda. Sorry about that. Hopefully by next week, I have to ask you again. Let's see, ones I know, Kathy Dunnington. You know Kathy, she's still in the hospital, gotten a little bit better, but won't release her yet. Amen. That she will be continue to improve. You remember last week we prayed for my brother-in-law who's been in the hospital 3 weeks. He's been released. He's at home. Amen. And doing better. So we want to hear good reports too, right? And so Bill Boy had a miraculous turnaround. So pneumonia, kidney infection, not eating, not anything, not able to breathe. His breathing's improved. He's eating. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for touching Bill. How's your mom doing? So, wow, that's awesome. So she's improving, getting better. Remind me your mother's name again. Mim. Mim. All these names in the family. Any other prayer requests? Yes. Okay. I'm thankful that younger people have been, for most part, have been not affected too much by this. Yes. Speak up for this old boy. All around for Betty Well. Who else? Arlene, is she? And so praying for Mrs. Nenny, and she goes into the hospital, and you start praying, and then you pray for her in faith, and then you turn around and say, oh, she'll be there 10 days, 2 weeks. And then she was out in just a few days, right? 2 or 3 days, she was back home. Man. I want to pray for my father-in-law, Daryl. Daryl, you guys know Daryl, right? He has just been struggling health-wise. Just want to continue to pray for him. So he's been in a lot of pain, shortness of breath. I'm telling you that so we can just pray and just declare healing over that. Amen. Yep, she mentioned that. Yep, thank you. Darlene Nenny's is home and ready for a perm. Her healing's already there. What's that? Jim Anderson. Brother Jim, I talked to him the day before, and he is making some tracks, but they're kind of slow tracks, aren't they? But he appreciates the prayers. Talked to another couple people today that are down sick at home, that are in their 70s, so... being reminded that is the Herb and Herb, the Reels. You guys familiar? You guys know the Reels? Herb and Carol. healthy. In him we're wealthy, right? In him we're blessed. In him we're strengthened. In him we're healed. I love that song that Gina started out with, in the time of trouble. And even in this time of trouble, thank you, Father, for revealing yourself. Thank you for keeping us. Thank you for doing a work in this nation. I have to admit sometimes I can't watch hardly any news. It's not good for my heart. Go get in a bad place. I'll take a look at it just enough to say, why am I looking at it? But Lord Jesus, join me in prayer, brothers and sisters. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We know you're the answer. And Lord, you foreknew everything. Everything that's happening right now in our world, Lord, it doesn't take you by surprise. And we know you have an answer. And we know you are performing miracles. And we know that you're saving souls. And we know you're delivering the sick. And we know you're delivering the addicted in Jesus' name. We know you're setting the captive free. We know you're restoring relationships in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for that. God, you are doing mighty works in countries and dark areas that we thought, Lord, when will you ever move? And this is a time where God is moving and setting people free unto salvation. Father, I thank you that you have not forgotten America. Father, our hearts, Lord, our minds, Lord, our everything within us is turned toward you, saying, Lord, you are the answer, Lord. You are the one that's going to bring salvation and deliverance to this nation, Father God. Father, we thank you that you haven't turned your back on us, Lord. We thank you for the sake of the saints, Lord, that you'll bring people in, so many of our family members that we know, Father, that are coming in Jesus' name, Father God. We know that to be true. So, Father, we continue to stand on your word. Father, we not only stand on faith, but our faith is growing stronger that you have the answer in Jesus' name. Not only are we not giving up, Father, but we're standing more firm within you, Father God, firm in our faith that the petitions that we ask for will be answered, Lord. That's a promise from the word, and so we thank you for that. Lord, for those who, Lord, that need a healing touch, Jim Anderson, thank you, Father, for raising him off that sick bed and restoring him 100% in Jesus' name, Lord, to do the things that he's always done, helping people, Father, sowing seed into those that are lost, helping those in need. We thank you, Lord, that he'll continue to do that, and he will be restored, Father God, in Jesus' name, Father, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you for Brenda, Father, her, what she's dealing with right now. Father, we declare healing to her body in Jesus' name. Father, we declare healing in her soul realm, in her flesh realm. Father, we thank you for healing her in the spiritual realm as well, Father. We thank you for doing a work there, Father. So we stand upon your word, Father God. We stand upon your word for Brenda, Father God. Kathy Dunnington, our dear sister. Father, thank you for encouraging her where she is. This has been a long fight for her, Father God. So we thank you for restoring her and healing her. Father, I thank you for filling her soul with the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is her strength. So, Lord, we thank you even in the midst of what she's going through. We thank you for joy bubbling up from her spirit, man. We thank you for joy, Father, bubbling up into her soul realm, Father God. Father, knowing that you have the answer and that you are healing her body in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for Mim, for touching Mim, Father, and just blessing her, Father, and your hand upon Mim in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for this dear saint of God, Father, restoring her, Father God, and any of these issues that underlying, we just thank you for healing those. We thank you for showing us what it is in healing her body. We thank you for Mim in Jesus' name. Father, for Reggie, Father, thank you for the miracle that you're doing in his life. We thank you that the enemy cannot steal his healing in Jesus' name. Father, we can't wait to hear the miracles that you've done in his life. Father, thank you for what you've done in Reggie. Lord, we celebrate with Reggie. We thank you, Jesus, that you answered prayer there in Jesus' name. Father, for Eva, Father God, we thank you for touching Eva, Mark, your hand being upon Eva and just bringing healing to her. Father, Lord, we bless her soul. We bless her mind. We bless her emotions. We thank you that she belongs to you. We thank you that no weapon formed against her shall prosper. We thank you, Father, as we continue to plant seed of the word of God, Father God. We declare her heart to be soft in Jesus' name. We declare, Father God, that you will reveal yourself to her, Father God. And we thank you for healing her body. Betty Wells, Father, thank you for Betty Wells. Father, touch Betty Wells. Thank you for your hand upon Betty Wells. We bless this dear sister in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for strengthening the family. We thank you for giving wisdom to the family during this time. Father, wisdom and peace, because he leads with peace. So, Father, we thank you for giving the family peace. And we bless Betty Wells in the name of Jesus. Thank you for that dear saint of God. We thank you for the whole family, Lord. We just thank you for the truth of God, the restoration in that family in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for the word of God does not return void. We don't always understand what happens, but we can rest in you, Father God, that those, Father God, that don't know you right now, know who you are, but may be running, Father, they're coming back. We thank you. You're the God that removes blindness. And we rebuke the enemy right now in Jesus' name in areas that would try to bring confusion, that would try to bring blindness, and we command you to take your hands off of those individuals. Lord, we bless our brother Ty, who's up in Colorado Springs. Thank you for your hand being upon him and his wife and his family. Thank you for blessing him. Thank you for watching out over him. Father, thank you for continuing to reveal yourself to him. And so we bless the Wells family in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you still with me? I know it's taken a while, but he's hearing our prayers. Amen. Shirley, Kenny's grandma, Father, we thank you for bringing healing to her life. We thank you for blessing her. Father, thank you for raising her up off of her sickbed in Jesus' name, Father. And may she have a confidence in her heart that replaces fear in Jesus' name, God, that you are the answer in bringing healing, Father God. We thank you for breaking fear that goes with this sickness that we're dealing with, Father God, with a death rate of less than 1%, but what fear it brings. So, Father, we thank you for breaking off that fear, breaking off that fear. As we walk in confidence with you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, we walk in confidence. Amen. Father, we thank you for the Moon family, Uncle Mike, Aunt Vicky, and the cousins. Thank you for healing them, Father, and touching them, and that they'll know that there's people praying for them. Sometimes when people, even if they don't even know the Lord, something happens when people know there's somebody praying for them. Because sometimes in the point of desperation, when there's nothing in your mind, in your flesh that you can do about their circumstances, all of a sudden your soul realm becomes open to the truth. And so, Father, we thank you for truth-piercing hearts and touching the Moon family, Lord, blessing them. Thank you for being with them, Lord. We thank you for the good reports, Father God. Lord, I thank you for touching my father-in-law, my dad, Daryl, Father God, who... Father, has been struggling for so long with ailment and sickness. Father, we just together, Lord, say, Lord, touch his heart. Heal his physical heart in Jesus' name. Father, heal his physical lungs in Jesus' name. Father, bring a complete healing, a miraculous healing. Father, we declare it over his life. Father, we declare that over his life, Father God. And every dark cloud that tries to come over his mind, we rebuke it in Jesus' name. It has no place in his mind. It has no place in his home. It has no place anywhere near him because he belongs to the Lord. He belongs to the Lord. So we bless Daryl in the name of Jesus. And we command the lies of the enemy to go in Jesus' name. For all of those who've been struggling with sickness, we thank you for healing. We thank you for your blessing. We thank you for your encouragement. Lord, we thank you that we walk according to the truth, the word of God, Father God. We walk in the truth, not in hearsay, not according to the news, not according to our fears, but according to our faith in Jesus, who was and is coming for you and I. And we thank you for that, God. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Amen. Gina, can I get one? I was going to just drink this one, but I don't know whose it is. Wouldn't bother me, but amen. Amen. So we've got some time to get into session 3 of the book of John. Thank you. Thank you. But I want to read something real short. I have this book by Bob Yandian called Theology Simplified. And it's a really good book. It's on election, propitiation, redemption, justification, glorification, sanctification, reconciliation, and predestination. Sounds good, huh? Sounds like an excellent read. And it is. But I want to read something on elect real quick that just, I've been reading this, that just caught me. It won't take long. It won't take long at all. It said the foundation of election. Elect, and it goes with 1 Peter, the scripture here is 1 Peter 1:2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit. So he goes on to say, God saw my choice to receive Jesus before the world was created. Did you know that? God saw my choice, we're talking about election, God saw my choice to receive Jesus before the world was created. Because he knew I would accept Jesus, he chose me as a son or daughter in his family. He then created a plan for my life from that point on through time and into eternity. His plan for my life is predestination. A predestination is the plan God has for you. The elect is him, you choosing him before him, knowing that you would choose him before time began. So his plan for my life is predestination and is also based on his knowledge of my choice to receive him as my Savior. The basis for election is not God's choice, but my choice. I am blessed by God because of his omniscience, his foreknowledge. He knows everything. So when it says that, when you read the Bible about predestination or election, knowing that he knew from the beginning who would accept him and who wouldn't. He's not willing that any would perish, but he knows everything from beginning to end. He would know those. He would know that me, were going to accept him. And that's why it says we're part of the elect. That's why it says you're predestined. That's why it says that, hey, God has a plan for you, and that he knew you in your mother's womb, as he told David, before, even before the foundation of the world. We are an elect in him, as he knew the choices that you and I would make. Amen. What I love is because I'm in the family of God, the elect, my prayers have an effect. Those around me, those that I love, the promises of God, they're coming with me. Some of them may kick and scream, may go through hell and back, but they're coming with me. They're coming with me. I'm the elect of God. Therefore, they don't realize it now, but you don't have a choice. You can kick and scream all you want. You can bang your head, but it may be like the saying I've been saying a lot lately. You may be drugged through a knothole backwards, but you're coming. You may not know it now, but one day you're going to say, thank you for praying for me. Mom, dad, cousin, friend, thank you for not giving up on me. And then God does beyond anything those people that were praying for you even can believe. Can't believe it. I didn't think I would see the day they would give their lives to God, or that their hearts would be warm to God, or they would come out of rebellion or come out of backsliding. And here they are, not only walking in the grace and power of God, but excelling in it. Because he loves to use the weak things of this world to confound the wise. He loves to have people say, I can't believe that's you. I can't believe that you're doing what you're doing. I heard about you. How in the world has this happened? Well, it's because of the grace of God and the power of God working in my life. He loves to do that. He loves to have people in awe say, I can't believe God restored you. I can't believe he restored that relationship. I can't believe what's going on. And God loves that, because who gets the glory then? He does. Because that person can't say, yeah, I knew it was going to work out. Yeah, I knew I had it in me. Yeah, I knew I one day would just figure it out with his noggin. No, in many cases, they're at their last straw. They are hanging on by a thread. And then when we humble ourselves, God said, snatching you from the fire. You belong to me. You are my elect. I knew you before the creation of the world. You didn't know that, but I knew it. I was with you for every day of your life. I protected you. I kept you from death or harm because I knew the decision you would finally make. A lot of it's based upon prayers of the saints. Amen. I don't pray about my family saying, God, if it's your will, save that person. I start declaring the promises of God. As for me, my household, amen. I don't pray, Lord, if it's your will, May they get better. No, we have to declare the promises of God. Amen. Even our experiences, if we're not careful, can become our doctrine. But that's not the way it should be. Amen. Paul, who was in prison, could have said, man, what in the world am I doing? What in the world happened? But him knowing the promises of God, knowing his calling, knowing what was happening, he said, man, as he said in Philippians, the joy of the Lord is my joyous understanding. And the thing about election is, if he knew us before the beginning of time, don't you think that he's walking with us every step? When we go through hardships, saying, Lord, you're here. You're getting me through this. You're strengthening me. You're not going to let me starve. You're not going to let me be destroyed by the enemy. Lord, you've got my back. You've got my front. I've got on the armor of light, as we'll read tonight, if I get to it. But you know, being in election, knowing that he knew that you would choose him, that should give us confidence. It really should. That being born again, saying, Lord, you've got every step of the way. You know everything that I'm struggling with or what's going on in your family or whatever. He knows that. So you can put your trust in him, saying, Lord, you're going to get me through this. It may not be like microwave popcorn, right? I remember the days where it took some time to make popcorn. That was good popcorn, right? But we haven't made popcorn in years that way. Now it just goes in the microwave, right? But our faith and our prayers, unfortunately, are not Jiffy popcorn, right? But we keep, nevertheless, we keep believing and trusting, amen, in those things. And part of that is because, Lord, you predestined me. You knew every step I would take. You know every step I'm going to take from here. You know every mistake I'm going to make from here on out till I pass away, but yet you still love me. Still belong to you. Amen. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to know that nobody can take us out of his hand? Nobody. It's only if the devil can convince us that there's no hope. And then even when that happens and we stumble, he's still there. Because it says, even when we're not faithful, he remains faithful. Amen. Aren't you glad he's faithful? Aren't you glad that he loves you? Aren't you glad that you're part of the elect and predestined? You know, that allows me to rest. You got this, Lord. Nothing wrong with working hard. Nothing wrong with taking care of business. But as I've gotten older, I've learned saying, God, you predestined me. I'm elect. You're taking care of my business. You've got my back. I don't have to make anything happen because you are leading me every step of the way. Nothing like spending a lifetime trying to make things happen and then get it at the very end and say, what happened? What happened? Does that make sense? Has anybody ever been there? Don't tell me you haven't. I know you. We all have. But when we know that he has a purpose that he realizes since the beginning, we can rest in it. Thank you. You're leading this day. Amen. I can't leave off of this. He's leading us. To bring comfort to our heart. Lord, you're leading me. Even in the midst of the mistakes, I'm not going to allow the enemy to tell me, nope, God's not leading you anymore. That's when we more than ever saying, he's leading me more than ever. Because we are justified freely by his grace. We're justified freely by faith. And during those times, we can say, nope, Satan, you're not only going to not affect my faith anymore and waver it, I'm standing more firm. I'm more resolved that God is leading me, God is directing me, and he's going to continue to do a work in me, my relationships, my family, et cetera, my job, whatever, retirement. I know some of you here don't work anymore, or at least not at a job. I don't want to say you don't work anymore. Maybe some of you don't. Probably fine. So thank you, Lord. John, we got 15 minutes for our third session, and our third session of the book, the Gospel of John, we're on verse 6. Isn't that awesome? Verse 6. And verse 6, New American Standard, John chapter 1. John chapter 1. A man came, one sent from God, and his name was John. I just want to mention some things about John the Baptist still, as we've kind of still been laying a foundation for the Gospel of John. So John the Baptist, I want to talk a little bit about his family, Luke 1, 5 through 7. I want to explain some things. It says, in the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. So we're talking about John the Baptist. Both his parents were from the tribe of Levi. They were priestly. So they were from the tribe of Levi. That makes John the Baptist was a, really, he's a priest. He's of the line, he's of the tribe of Levi. Both his parents, one from Aaron, one from Abijah, both from a lineage of priesthood. So it says, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in the commandments and requirements of the Lord. Yet they had no child because Elizabeth was infertile, and they were both advanced in years. Have you heard this story anywhere else? Does this sound familiar, right? That would be with Abraham, right? And Sarah. So they hadn't had any children, and they're getting advanced in years. And then all of a sudden, I'll continue the story. I wanted to mention this for one reason, was that in this verse 6 says they were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in the commandments, requirements of the Lord. I want to mention, sometimes people read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they'll say, hey, I preach the gospel. I give the message according to the gospels. The only problem is even Jesus during that time and his disciples and John were preaching to who? The Jews. Had Jesus died yet? He hadn't died. He was doing miracles. He was preaching about the kingdom of God, but he wasn't preaching the gospel in any way, shape, or form that you and I listen today, that we heard, that saved our souls. So sometimes we got to understand that we will take messages that are not meant for today. Now, is there things we can learn? Absolutely. Jesus, the thing I learned about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. So as we read the word of those, of the Gospels, we realize that it's a revealing of the Father through Jesus. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Meaning, I can't share the same message. Here was the message of John the Baptist. They said, hey, what must we do to be saved? And I mentioned this already. If you have two coats, give one of them away. If you have food, share it. If you're working hours, don't lie about it. If you're collecting taxes, don't collect more than you should to pocket it. Those are good things, right? But that is in no way the message that I would preach today. Amen? I would be putting the cart before the horse. All those things are good, but for all of us, until we're born again and his spirit's in us and he's working in our lives, we're not going to do those things effectively without the Lord. So what was the point? The point was, as Jesus, with John the Baptist baptizing and the things he was saying, he was pivoting people away from the law for salvation, because they weren't, who were the religious leaders? The Pharisees and the Sadducees were the ones that actually put Jesus to death. They were the ones that were the most hard-hearted people of that day that killed our Savior. Amen? So what he was doing is pivoting them, saying, you can't follow the law. Look at some of the other things he said. Hey, if you commit adultery, that's a sin, but I'm telling you, if you even have a thought in your mind, you've already committed adultery. Wow. And then he would turn around, they said, hey, this gal was caught in the act of adultery. And Jesus said, "If let him who has no sin cast the first stone." So you see, as Jesus is preaching, he's declaring the Father. He's pivoting off of the law on your own efforts, because most of them are hard-hearted anyway. And he was directing him to a new way, the new covenant. So be careful when you're reading the Gospels, that it does not contrary to you being saved by faith through grace, amen? Or saved by grace through faith, I'm sorry. Amen. Rightly dividing the word of truth. So I'm talking to people, and he says, well, yeah, I'm giving the law. I'm preaching how Jesus did. Not going to work. Not going to work. It's not going to bring salvation. When the law is preached, what did Paul said? That a shroud just remains. You can't see the light. They remain in darkness. I mean, religion in the flesh, it seems so good, right? I need to let you know that you can't do this and this and this. These are sinful. And they are. Adultery is sinful. Amen? Absolutely. But you're not going to preach a list and say, okay, tighten it up, get in rank, clean up your thoughts. Time to march. It's time to check that list every day. There's absolutely no relationship involved. There's absolutely no Spirit of God involved. There's no need to be born again. You just follow that list. Amen? And not only were the Pharisees in the time of Jesus and the Sadducees doing that, but they were piling it on even more to where it was impossible. Where Jesus said, the people that you're proselyting, you're dragging them to hell with you. A statement like that. So as they're starting to preach, as they're starting to declare, it's to move people off of change from the law. Can't follow the law. And here's the real heart of God towards people, the way you treat people. Amen? Amen. I wanted to mention something in 2 Timothy 2:15, because it says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. I used to read that and say, okay, where's the list? I just go to list. That's how I am. There's got to be a list. How can you get anything done without a list? So I read something like that, and I go, okay, it's time to buckle up and get rolling. We got to understand something that you've heard Pastor Lee, if you've been here a while, says, hey, these books were written for us, but not to us. So in Timothy, he's writing to a pastor of the Ephesus church. He said, hey, he's talking about, hey, you've got this calling. You're the pastor here. You've got to rightly divide the word to truth. You've got to be diligent in showing these people that you know the word of God, that this calling is yours. Because if you actually go back to 2 Timothy 1:9, so he just said in 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. And we take that, and he was talking to Timothy, the pastor, right? But if you go back to 2 Timothy 1:9, this is what Paul says, who has saved us and called us with his holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. There's that right there. Before time began. It was ours. Amen? Isn't that amazing? Lord, thank you for putting that so deep in our hearts that next time the enemy comes to lie to us, that we can't measure up, or we beat ourselves up, Lord, say, no, I was called, and I'm walking in his grace, and it's been mine since before time began. That's a long time ago, I think. I think that was a while ago. I don't know when time began. What's the earth, about 6,000 years or something since Adam and Eve? Am I close? Maybe. Am I fairly close? But I don't know what that means in correlation to before, since time began. When did time begin? It blows the human mind, doesn't it? I have no idea. How, for God to have always been, see, we live in time, right? Right now, click, right time. Some of you already thinking, boy, I need to get home and get in bed. But God living outside, because you know, 1,000 years is a day is 1,000 years. God lives outside of time. Amen? Outside of time. But we belong to him since before time began. So as we move through John, this is what I'm going to say. We have to understand the dispensation. It's a revealing, Jesus said, of the Father. When Jesus showed up on the scene, he wasn't anything they expected, but yet he was revealing the Father. I think I'll have well, we'll come to it. I don't want to jump ahead. And so going back in Luke 3, 10, 11, this, they were talking to John the Baptist, and the crowds were questioning him, saying, "Then what are we to do?" And he would answer and say to them, "The one who has two tunics is to share the one who has none, and the one who has food is to do likewise." Right? That sounds so noble. Then you go to Romans chapter, or no, is it 1 Corinthians 13? It says you can give all you have to the poor, but if you don't have love, it means nothing. Different dispensation, amen? We got to understand what John the Baptist was accomplishing. He was saying, look, God's heart is for people, not just observing the law, but I can't really tell you anymore because John the Baptist didn't know anymore. I don't even know if he knew that Jesus was going to die on the cross. Remember, he was long gone. He says, hey, I baptize you in water, but the one who comes after me will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He knew that much. But he might not even knew the redemptive plan. He was long gone before that. He's beheaded, right? But he served his purpose there as he was baptizing and telling people, repent. Something new is coming. It's all changing. It's all changing. See, John was preaching a repentance, preparing the hearts of the Jews to turn from the dead religion of the Pharisees to the true God, to soften their hearts. They could not possibly repent like you and I do today until Jesus had died. Amen. Verse 7, he came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. Now, I know I talked a little bit about light last week, but I didn't get through it all. I had more. I'm not sure how much more I can get into now. But I'll read a scripture. 2 Corinthians 4, 4 through 6 says, in whose case the God of this world, who's the God of this world? Satan, right? My grandma would call him Slewfoot. In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so they will not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Amen? The image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants on account of Jesus. For God who said, light shall shine out of the darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. To shine out of darkness. You and I are in a dark world, and we're shining out of darkness, right? Our light is... we're not shining into darkness. We're shining right in the midst of darkness. All around us, people who don't know him are in darkness. Doesn't matter if they're trying to have their deeds to be a good person. It's okay to be a good neighbor and a good person, right? But it's still walking in darkness. It seems like a cruel truth. But if you could walk in the light once again by your deeds, why would Jesus have died? Our deeds do not bring eternal life. Our morality will not bring eternal life. But Satan keeping people in darkness, however he's got to do it, convincing people, hey, I'm a good person, to the person that says, I just can't measure up. Satan, who's been around for a long time, knows all the tricks. He knows he's had a long time to perfect his trade of deceiving the world and trying to deceive saints. It would look like that we're at a huge disadvantage, right? As I'll be on this earth 100 years, give or take. But the only thing is we have the Ancient of Days living inside of us. He who had no beginning, he who has no end, lives within us. So that's our compass. That's our light in a dark world. So when the enemy or different people say things, we say, I reject that. That's not going to be seed to land in my heart. I know the truth. Take a hike, enemy. It's not working today. So him, the Ancient of Days who lives within us, amen, shining a light at us. The Word of God being that light in our hearts, the Holy Spirit, amen. It's just what Jesus gave us. He gave us the example when Satan was tempting him. You know, Moses was in the desert for 40 years. Jesus was in the desert for 40 days. The Son of God. Perfect. Every trick of the enemy didn't work. It didn't even stumble or trip Jesus up. It didn't take him as long to learn as it does us. Amen? Even though he's in flesh, he was perfect. And so how did he defeat Satan when he was in the desert? Did he have a magic wand? Away with you, Satan. No, he would give him the word. Amen? He would give him a piece of himself, because it says in the very first scripture, John says, he was the word. He is the word. He's God. He's with God from the beginning. So he would just declare what he is coming out of his spirit, man. Amen? Through the Holy Spirit. What's the word say? You shall not live by bread alone. Amen? So the same thing, words. Power of words against the enemy. Jesus did not power and say, I'm going to show you something really powerful here, Satan. I'm going to show you something that you can't do, that you would love to do. Eat your heart out, devil. He was just quoting the word. Foolishness to the mind that doesn't know the Lord. But even with the Son of God, it was what he used to drive the enemy away. Amen. The light coming from us, the light going into through the darkness. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We thank you again for the light. Lord, if anything, I know you said, Lord, may our hearts be steadfast and maybe chew on this for the next day or two. Father, I am the elect. Lord, I was yours before the beginning of time. I go back to what I just read. Was it if I can find it. Lord, we thank you. In Ephesians, I thought it was in Ephesians. Since beginning, before the beginning of time. Amen. 2 Timothy 1:9, Lord, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Father, may you just remind us of that day this that we belong to you. Father God, that we just have to trust you. We just have to say, Lord, today I trust you. Lord, today, every day I'm born off of what your word says. Thank you, Lord, that I am like John. I am the disciple whom Jesus loved. Thank you that you love me, Father, so deeply. Thank you for revealing yourself to me, Lord, to this day. And so, Father, we thank you for that. Thank you for your blessing upon your people. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said,
Amen.